In alle Klassenblumen geht, hört man Sauerstoffjes. Jinglach, Mädlach, Kind und Kate, schmusen Pumpe Bockes.
Jinglach, Mädlach, Kind und Kate, schmusen Pumpe Bockes. Genug schon wieder Horven, genug schon Borgenleien. Macht das Sauerstoffje, lau mir Brüder sich verteilen.
Macht das Sauerstoffje,
lau mir Brüder sich verteilen. Brüder und Schwestern, lau mir
Brüder. Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. When we talk about protests against the police, we think Baltimore, Maryland, or Ferguson, Missouri, but how about London, England 100 years ago? Probably not. We don't realize London, and particularly its impoverished East End, was a seething cauldron of protest, unrest, and even revolution. Much of it centered on Jewish immigrants from Central and Eastern Europe who fought internal battles as religion and politics competed for dominance. A new film documents this history with an impressionistic examination of London then and now. Period footage, photos, and recordings share the screen with contemporary sepia-toned shots of London's East End. It's called The Anarchist Rabbi and is narrated by actor-writer Stephen Burkoff and written and directed by Adam Kossoff. Adam is a writer, artist, and filmmaker who explores historically separate but site-specific video installations. The Anarchist Rabbi is having his Canadian debut this afternoon at the Toronto Jewish Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to have Adam by telephone from London to tell us more about it. Hi, Adam.
Hi there.
So,
thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for speaking with me. So let's start by, could you explain what is meant by anarcho-syndicalism?
Anarcho-syndicalism, as the film tries to suggest, is, well, there's different kinds of anarchism. Actually, anarchism spans the left and the right. So there's this kind of more individualist anarchism that you get in the US of A, and maybe in Canada, I'm not sure, which is more on the right. And then on the left, you get anarcho-communism and anarcho-syndicalism. Anarcho-syndicalism is anarchism that's organized from within the workplace, from within trade union activity.
And your film concentrates especially on an anarchist or anarcho-syndicalist named Rudolf Rocker. Who was he?
Yep. Rudolf Rocker was a German. In fact, he was trained to bookbinding, and he was very politically active. He was born in, my memory escapes me now.
Let's just say Germany.
I think it's in the film. You'll have to see the film, basically, to get the exact dates. 1880 something,
mm-hmm.
if I'm correct.
I think so.
And he was very politically active as an anarchist, as an anarcho-syndicalist or an anarcho-communist, depending on how you look at it. And he kind of, he was active in Germany and then in France, and then he fled to England because France, on the continent, well, on the continent in Europe, they were very oppressive. They were very vindictive towards people who were politically active. And the UK was, oddly enough, a kind of safe refuge for people who were revolutionary, like the communists and the anarchists. Okay. And so they all kind of congregated in London, in various parts of London.
And what drew him to the East End?
I think it was a kind of accident, in a way. He wasn't Jewish, but he was attracted to, I'm not quite sure why he ended up in the East End, because a lot of the German anarchists actually ended up in the center of London. But I think it was just the seething cauldron of what was happening there, the kind of immigrant situation and the exploitation and the sweatshops.
And why
kind of attracted him, and the situation of the Jews as well. And I think there was kind of a big kind of anarchist flavor to the way the Jewish kind of political thinking at the time.
How did that express itself? In other words, how did this political cauldron, this anarchism, affect day-to-day life in the East End?
Discussions mostly, and organizing strikes. Anarchism came from Russian immigrants. As my grandfather was a Russian. Let me tell you, there's a kind of personal aspect to this. My grandfather was a Russian immigrant. He came over in 1905 originally, and he was kind of he set himself up as a baker, and that business eventually expanded and became, you know, like a local business that everyone knew about. And he was attracted to kind of anarchism and people like Rudolf Rocker, because they weren't only politically active in terms of making people aware that they could actually struggle against the working conditions, but also they set up kind of educational centers, and they had lectures and they had talks and they had visits to the British Museum and so on.
Did he settle in the East End?
My grandfather?
Yes.
Or Rudolf Rocker?
Oh, okay. Your grandfather. So I'm wondering, what is your personal connection?
My personal connection I was just talking about my grandfather who came to the East End.
Right, out to the East End, okay.
And he was personally influenced by Rudolf Rocker. He met Rudolf Rocker. And
your film also follows Rudolf Rocker in other cities in the UK, like Leeds and, is it Liverpool? What was his reception in those places?
Well, anarchism wasn't only prevalent amongst the Jewish population, but it was kind of a very large movement. It was kind of like the biggest political alternative or revolutionary movement of the time. And so, British, it was kind of, but there were also Jewish communities in Leeds and Liverpool, and they were quite politically active. So Rudolf Rocker had to, he went to Leeds to set up a group there, and he went to Liverpool to help set up a Yiddish newspaper. You got to remember that Rudolf Rocker was, as I said, he wasn't Jewish and he didn't speak Yiddish, but eventually in Liverpool he ended up editing a Yiddish newspaper, and he had to learn Yiddish to do that.
Called the Arbeiter Freund?
The Arbeiter Freund came after that. His editing of the Arbeiter Freund came after that. The Arbeiter Freund was set up in the 1880s, and it was a kind of anarchist Yiddish newspaper. And it sort of went in and out of circulation. But when they heard that Rudolf Rocker was editing this Yiddish newspaper in Liverpool, they asked him to come back to London to edit the Arbeiter Freund, which he agreed to do so. So,
and how did
and that's
he,
when his kind of major involvement in the East End anarchist movement started, and he started to, you know, organize much more political awareness strikes and so on against the sweatshop system.
How did he become known as the anarchist rabbi?
In actual fact, there's different sources to this, but he was, people regarded him as their kind of their teacher in a way. So he wasn't only kind of quite political in his worldview, but he was very into education, and he was famous for his lectures on Shakespeare and so on. And eventually they set up this club, which had very large audiences, a club and a caf and so on, you know. My grandfather said he was more like a rabbi than, you know, he was more like a rabbi than anything else to him.
Let's talk about the film itself. You portray modern-day London in sepia tones or tinted colors. Why do you do that? What does that mean?
Well, actually, depends on the projection, really, but there should be some red coming through. So it's there's a kind of faded red to some of the images.
So this is to reflect the political aspect.
I just think people always ask me this question, and it's kind of difficult. It's kind of instinctive in a way. It's kind of just reducing, simplifying the colors and making it. It's not not really a nostalgia thing. It's more about, I'm kind of interested in mapping the city, as it were, and a lot of my films are about exploring urban environments, wandering through urban environments and discovering various facets of them, including the history that has disappeared from them. And I find black and white is kind of a more sort of architectural form, some kind of more photographic form in a way. And so that's why it has this kind of sepia black and white flavor to it. But also on top of that, it has the kind of the redness, which is, you know, part of the anarchist kind of identity, red and black and so on.
So you show East End as it is now, and then through period footage and photographs, how it was then. Do you think there's something site-specific that ties the two together?
Well, I guess there's only photographs. There's no period footage from that time. So.
Oh, okay. But you have recordings.
You have to be careful there, because
you have some old recordings. Maybe from the early 20th century.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, it was too early for.
Right, there was no
footage, and they certainly didn't. They didn't film Anarchist at the time.
Right.
So this is a kind of. The whole point of the film, and in a way, is that it's a kind of disappeared history, and it's a history that people don't really know about, and it's not really very well, you know, not kind of in the forefront of people's minds at all, really, and you have to kind of dig beneath the surface to get at it, really.
In Toronto, people like anarchist Emma Goldman, the only commemoration is a tiny metal plaque on Spadina. I wonder, are there similar memorials to people like him in London, or whether the film itself is a more fitting memorial?
I wouldn't claim the film as a memorial, but I've only come across two plaques to anarchists in the UK. One is in London, and that's where there was a famous anarchist called, a Russian anarchist called Kropotkin, who was kind of friendly with Emma Goldman as well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think they communicated.
Yes.
And his work was very influential, actually, across the anarchist movement. But there was a plaque in a place in West, well, it's kind of southwest London, in Croydon, on the house where he used to live. And there's a plaque to some other anarchists in a town called Walsall, which is in the middle of England. And they were kind of arrested under false pretenses for planning a bombing of a school or something like that.
It's a very interesting topic. I think Adam Kossoff is a director and writer of The Anarchist Rabbi, premiering today at the Toronto Jewish Film Festival. Go to tjff.ca for details. Thanks so much for speaking with me, Adam.
Thank you very much for having me. I hope you enjoy the film.
Thank you,
everyone.
This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.